My name's Karen Story. I live in the Highlands here in Kirkland. And I'm here to talk about the trail, the railroad trail. I have an idea for creating an inexpensive interim trail on the railroad tracks to tide us over during the process of deciding what will happen with the tracks and finding the money to implement a long-term solution. As many of you know, the tracks are difficult and unsafe to walk on because of the risk of twisting ankles on the uneven cross ties. Filling the space between the rails with 2 inches of gravel would create a safe, compact trail that would be usable immediately and would last for as long as it takes to make a decision about long-term corridor use. This minimal amount of gravel should not hinder future efforts to remove or repair the rails. I'm not a public works expert and don't have access to exact dollar amounts, but I do have some rough calculations. The cost to gravel the approximately 6 miles of rail line in Kirkland would be about $15,000 plus labor. The labor would be free if volunteers are used, or at a labor rate of $50 an hour, labor would cost about $17,000. This estimate is based on a gravel cost recently given to me by a City of Kirkland Public Works employee of $16 a yard delivered. The estimate does not include the cost of any heavy equipment that might be required. I estimate that the cost to gravel the entire 34 miles of rail, not including the Redmond Spur, would be about $178,000, including gravel and labor. But for as little as $15,000, we could have a safe, functional trail the length of Kirkland. It might be possible to raise this money through a fundraising campaign. All we'd need is permission to lay the gravel. And if you're interested, I brought a little sheet listing how I came up with these numbers. So if you'd like, I can leave that with you.
We certainly would like to see that. And we also have your email that you sent.
Okay. So great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, very nice idea. Thanks.
Good evening. My name is Sharon Riddle. I'm a resident of Kirkland. I've lived here since 1990. I also have a business in Kirkland, and I live in Yarrow Hill. I am a native to Seattle and chose Kirkland for the quality of life. And I'm here in support of the Eastside Trail Advocates and the Cross Kirkland Trail. I'm interested in your committee. I haven't been here before, but I suspect I'll be coming in the future. I just want to be here to support my interest in putting a trail along the what was used to be the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Trail. This is the first time I've heard of this concept, but it sounds like a very good interim measure to start getting some value out of it, because I do see people walking dogs along that area now. But it's, as she says, it's a little difficult and not all that safe. So there are others here from the group that have a more formal presentation, but I just wanted to let you know of my support, and I hope you will take a good look at the trail. And if you haven't been out and walked it and taken a look at the topography, I think it's very important to understand where that railway track lays, what is next to it, how many roads cross over it. And I think walking along there will give you a very different view in addition to reading a lot of the studies that have been done, so you can kind of blend the two together. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Sharon. Who else? Let's see.
Hi, my name is Karen Rasmussen. I am a member of the steering committee for Eastside Trail Advocates, and I would also like to reinforce the comments that Sharon made, and in particular invite members of the Transportation Commission who are interested in walking the corridor and seeing the natural beauty of the corridor and the value it has as a green pathway, and also contrasting that with, you know, the environmental concerns for usage of the corridor, safety concerns, and other issues that would be raised by rail usage on the corridor. We would love to try to facilitate a walk on the corridor, either with the commission or as a way of inviting the greater public to see the value of the corridor and maybe get some public sponsorship. But I'd also like to, just sort of as a formal presentation, read some comments that were made by Lisa McConnell of our steering committee to the Kirkland City Council at its recent meeting, so you would have that information as well. As the name Eastside Trail Advocates implies, we are a committed group advocating for a paved multi-use trail on the newly acquired Eastside Corridor. But a trail on the former BNSF rail line is not a new desire for Kirkland. The Cross Kirkland Trail has been discussed for decades, long before the current opportunity arose. Indeed, in a great act of foresight, it has even been included in our recently updated non-motorized transportation plan. Kirkland has long recognized this corridor as a valuable transportation option, and we would like the Commission to know that bike commuting compares apples to apples with other transportation options. The Burke-Gilman weekday bike commute trips meet or exceed 23 Metro bus routes in ridership. This trail has the potential to be the 405 of the bike pedestrian system on the east side. And we already have bicycle and pedestrian connections to the pathway in place. For example, the clearly identified path that begins at Park Place and runs eastward past the post office, paralleling Central Avenue and connecting directly onto the corridor. But looking at the trail as a transportation commodity is to sell its potential value short. A well-planned pathway adds value to commercial and residential properties all along the length of the line. Pathways invite visitors to spend time, and more importantly, money, in the communities they serve. Think of the pedestrian traffic you see on Lake Washington Boulevard on even slightly sunny days, or the amount of bicycles outside Red Hook Brewery off the Sammamish River Trail. Many cities have already realized the synergy of well-planned pathways and local businesses. The Great Allegheny Pathway is a paved, converted rail trail running from Pittsburgh to the other Washington, D.C. In 2008, despite tough economic times, trail attributed revenue increased to $40.6 million, and $7.5 million were paid in wages. We would like for this group to make a recommendation to the Kirkland City Council to insist on this and other benefits of a superior pathway for Kirkland businesses and residents. We would like the Transportation Commission to recommend to the City Council to choose ideally two, but at least one council member to communicate clearly Kirkland's longstanding and continuing desire for a trail to the King County Council and to the Port of Seattle. We'd like this council member to assert their leadership with these and other involved agencies in design, planning, and implementation of an East Side Trail with a focus on a trail where it makes the most sense in Kirkland first. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Who's next?
Anybody? okay. One thing I wanted to mention is that at our meeting next month, we're hopefully going to have a more specific presentation by both trail advocates as well as those people that are looking at a possible rail use in the corridor, so to get some different ideas there. And what we're going to be doing this month is getting a basic update of what's happening in the corridor from King County. And then we're also working with the City Council to get some further direction from them in terms of process and how they'd like the Transportation Commission to be involved and so forth. So we know this is an important issue. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, oh, I was just going to say that Pam Bissonette from the county is here.
Sure.
And you want to have her come on up? Or?
So I think the timing's right. We're right on time, Pam.
Well. Oh,
right here. It's
a good spot.
Uh-huh.
Set. I've got your slides up on the...
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, thank you. I'm Pam Bissonette. I work for Dale Constantine in the executive office, and I'm his project manager for the Burlington Northern Corridor negotiations that are going on right now. So
I'll try to be succinct so that you can actually get the questions answered that you find more valuable. Let me just start by saying that the current county council policy is for dual use. And we already purchased, as part of the first action the county took, an easement, a trail easement. So we already have a trail easement throughout the entire part of the corridor in King County. It's not a huge easement. It was pretty much just to make sure that when the port purchased the property from Burlington Northern, that it was that there was a trail sponsor, so it could be retained in rail bank status. And the county purchased that, I would say, fairly minimal easement for $1.9 million. So the current status is the port owns the entire sections, both in Snohomish County and in King County, except for this trail easement that King County has in the King County section. What we're doing now is the port is retaining ownership of the portion within Snohomish County and selling off in all of the rights to the corridor in King County. And the partners who signed a memorandum of agreement about that at the end of December, or it was a little earlier than that, are five partners. They are the King County, the City of Redmond, Sound Transit, Cascade Water Alliance, and Puget Sound Energy. And so what is happening right now is a very complicated, but to me very intriguing, six-way negotiation for how those rights are being divvied up. And I spent 3 hours today with all of those partners trying to parse that out as to who's going to purchase what. The hope is that that will occur, the closing of that negotiation among all of those six parties will occur in the end of the second quarter of this year. And the at the end of that time, Redmond, and I don't like to speak for other agencies, so please take my comments with that in mind, but Redmond is purchasing the portion of the corridor that's within Redmond in fee. Sound Transit is purchasing a portion in within Bellevue, where Eastlink will probably land somewhere in that corridor. Easements will then be purchased by Puget Sound Energy, Cascade Water Alliance, and Sound Transit is going to purchase an easement throughout the whole rest of the King County section. And then the remaining ownership, underlying fee ownership, will be purchased by King County. So now how that all gets parsed out and is what we're getting through the details with right now. Then the problem from the beginning of this whole process is that normally, and I know you know you as public officials understand, that normally we don't go buy property until we know what we're going to do with it. Well, we didn't have that option here. In order to keep it in public ownership, we had to buy first and figure it out later. So it's very important to the county council that there be some kind of regional process to then turn around and figure out how much of it and where should be the trail and how much of it and where should be rail to conform to this dual use policy that they have. And that will take Sound Transit's involvement as well, because they are the rail people in town. We're not, King County doesn't do rail. Plus, you already heard somewhat about the ST2 $50 million that has been set aside, and I think I saw it in some of the documents that you sent me that your elected officials have, to talk about this potential public-private partnership for rail now. And we're hoping that that Sound Transit process goes along in parallel with King County's regional process to figure out how much is and when is rail and how much and when is trail. So maybe the best thing for me to do at this point is to go through this schedule. And, oh, thank you. My goodness. Very
prepared. And let me, I please consider this draft, because I put things on here that really are related to Sound Transit. And they haven't committed to this schedule. So this is just one that King County made up that would work for us, and we're working with Sound Transit to see if it will work for them. But starting with the first one, you can see where we are. First quarter, we're now having to do an appraisal. You know, you can forget all the stuff about supplemental budget. That's sort of inside baseball. But the purchase and sale agreement, we're negotiating right now. And as I said, we hope to have that ready to execute at the end of the second quarter of this year. At the same time, we're developing this regional process that we want to guide input into. We're getting quite a bit that you are, input from interested parties, people interested in rails, people interested in trails. And we need to guide that into some kind of process that will generate a decision at the end of it. So we're developing that right now with Sound Transit. And then you can see the ST2 RFP process I put on there. That is what is going to happen with that $50 million. And then I just kind of put down at the bottom, just for interest, sort of the decisions that are being made on East Link, because they do interact. There are some alternatives out there that would use more corridor than others. But those won't be decided for a while. So then moving on, once we've got, you know, past all of this machinations we're going through at the end of the second quarter, we hope then to initiate and begin to conduct this public process and the ST2 RFP process. And if I was going to maybe change this at all, it would be on the second. How do I get to the second one? Oh, okay. Is actually to probably extend that ST2 line all the way through to the end of the 2011. And there is, as you know, a deadline by which that money either has to be committed to that public-private rail partnership idea, or it goes to 405 improvements, HOV improvements, I think. Is it? Yeah, on 405. So there is a deadline there, and it's not an easy deadline to move, because that was part of a voter-approved package, and it's not easy for Sound Transit Board to change that. So we're under the gun, or I should say Sound Transit is under the gun to some extent, to get that project going. Then moving down, you can see we're going to be doing some technical studies around the trail, because we know there are pinch points where the trail is maybe 30 feet. I mean, there's the Wilburton Trestle issue to be dealt with. We just know that there's a lot of pinch points. So from a technical standpoint, that's all that is how would we feasibly put a trail throughout the entire area, the Redmond Spur and the main stem all the way down to Coulon Park. And then DOT, our own transit people, are looking at whether there's any use that they could make of that corridor for bus purposes. The question has been asked by our council. They're kind of not understanding whether there really is, but we have to answer the question. So they're going to undertake some technical studies for that. Meantime, East Link goes on, and we have a final alignment by that time, and they're into design. And if we could go to the third slide, one of the things that, you know, we don't have any money to build a trail right now. So if we wanted to build even an interim trail or a permanent trail over a portion of the corridor or even all of the corridor, we're going to have to find the money to do it. And one opportunity, we're not saying that this is where we would go, but one opportunity would be to consider it as part of the next Parks operating and capital levy, which is up in 2013. And in order to make that deadline, we've got to have all this work done in 2011 so it can feed into our Parks Levy Task Force, and they can make a recommendation to the County Council whether they think that's whether any or all of it should be put into such a package.
And then the last slide just shows when those votes could occur. We don't, of course, know when they would occur. And there's no guarantee that that would be what we would use. But our existing sources of money that we usually build trails like without a vote have dried up. They're the real estate excise tax. And, you know, real estate isn't doing, hasn't been doing well. So I think we're down to less than 20% of what we normally collect on REIT. So I think that's where we are overall. Maybe it would be better if you could just let me know what you would prefer me to bore in on and focus on.
Well, thanks very much. I'd like to ask one kind of overall question and ask commissioners to, I know they have some specific questions, but one of the questions that's come up here is, okay, process within Kirkland, what's the time frame to get input into a decision on either a trail or a rail option? Can you talk a little bit more about how you see that working?
Well, yes. We're talking right now. In fact, Friday we're having a big meeting with our council, with the lead staff to our county council members about designing that regional process. And we're thinking it's probably going to be certainly based, we're thinking of having community workshops or meetings at least in Woodinville, Kirkland, Bellevue, and Renton at the outset to get input from you know, what the public wants to see. Then we'll also be designing into that process something specific for the cities. So having, you know, city positions on what you want to see would be highly valuable to that process. And then that will feed into the technical studies that we're doing on trail and whatever else. And then we would probably, and then we're thinking of some kind of, you know, combined group of the Sound Trans Board and the King County Council, and the county executive and the director of Sound Transit to come up with some alternatives, make some alternatives recommendations. And then we would probably come back out again and do that same thing again. We would come back through the communities, come back through the cities that through which this runs, and that would then provide input to both the King County Council and Sound Transit Board on what the ultimate decision is. And I really want to emphasize here that Sound Transit Board has a huge amount of decision-making about this. I think some people think because the county is going to be the owner that we are going to have a lot of control over that. But that's not necessarily true, because the easements and ownership interests that everybody is buying, they will already have. They'll have that at the end of next quarter. So it's more of how do they utilize that. So I just think that, you know, if you're interested, don't ignore Sound Transit Board. They are very, very key to this decision-making process.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What entity will actually make these decisions, run this stretch of track? Is it a conglomerate of Cascade, Waterline? All you guys are going to form some new thing to make decisions? Who is it that the city would actually deal with?
Well, we haven't confronted that yet. I mean, mostly what will probably happen if we stay on the existing course is Cascade, for example, we met with them today. They don't want anything except subsurface rights. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they're not really going to interfere with any surface right. Puget Sound Energy, somewhat similar. They want some aerial rights, but they're saying they're not going to interfere with anybody else's rights. City of Redmond is buying theirs lock, stock, and barrel, and they've got their own process for how they're going to develop that piece of their downtown. So that just leaves what's the county going to do with our rights and what Sound Transit going to do with their rights. And we're jockeying for the same ground to some extent, because we're surface rights. Everybody, the others, are pretty much aerial or subsurface. It's possible that there could be some governance and financing structure that comes out of this somewhere near the end that has everybody sort of sitting at the table, but we're not getting a lot of interest from the other parties. They're going, we don't need that. You know, we.
But presumably a city like us could have somebody on the board that, that runs this and makes decisions and raises money and all of that.
It's possible.
Yeah.
So it would have to be put together sort of probably as part or post the purchase and sale agreement, because one of the things I will say is the port is very focused on selling this section and getting their money out of it. So they're not prepared to hold it for 2 years while we sort this all out. So what you're describing would be something that would probably come out of the regional process.
Well, one more question. Would you be looking to cities such as ours that, you know, cover a long part of this route to come up with money?
We're not.
So there's no thought that Kirkland would be looked to try to raise money or anything for developing this stretch, developing a trail or anything like that?
No, not that it would be unwelcome, but we're not asking people for money at this point, particularly since there's not an agreement about what ought to be built. Mm-hmm. When I think that is determined, then it'll be easier to see who the new partners should be. There may be new partners at that point. For example, and I think there might be truing up of property interests as well. So, for example, if GNP is going to be running, you know, rail now in any part of the corridor, then that probably would not be something that we could use trail money to purchase that part of the corridor. So we might ask Sound Transit, okay, well, maybe you should buy out that piece. Or maybe we determine that our trail easement is too wimpy and we need a better one. And so our trail money then would buy a larger share of it. So it's just very difficult to nail that down. And nobody's even talking about development money. Right now we're just struggling to come up with money to buy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
First of all, thanks for coming here this evening. You know, just hearing you talk about some of these things and answered a few of my questions. One of them, though, that I guess I didn't realize was just the process, you know, that we're really talking about quite some time before, you know, a decision being made, and then beyond that decision, actually something occurring along the corridor. This calendar goes out to 2013. I know this is all draft and could change, but I mean, that's 3 years down the road. That's not even building anything. That's just making the decision, maybe getting some funding and design. So with that in mind, how much thought has there been towards, you know, interim actions before that decision is actually reached? Is that going to be part of, you know, maybe some of this initial, you know, process here in the first, second, or third quarter to see if there's any opportunities to move forward with something on an interim basis before, you know, the eventual full meal deal or whatever is kind of planned out?
Well, yes, there is. Where there is no, for example, we'd like to find segments of the corridor where there's just no dispute. Like, this is just going to be a trail. Nobody has any interest in it for rail now, and Sound Transit says, well, we're never going to use that for 30 years. Well, then that's pretty clear. We can spin that out and say that's going to be a trail for now. Where it's going to be difficult is where it isn't clear, where there's a lot of controversy over who and what is going to use the corridor. And in those cases, the reason the county council has, one of the reasons they've told us that they're so focused on this regional process is just because of that, is because there needs to be then a way to make that decision with full public input. Mm-hmm. And if and full public input, as you know, takes a while mm-hmm. to make sure that people are adequately heard and their issues addressed. So in those areas where it is not clear what is going to happen in the corridor, then that's going to be the tough places. And not to say that something interim couldn't happen. In fact, I didn't hear exactly who was speaking from the public about an interim trail with leaving the rails there, but we've actually looked at that. Could we do something and just leave the rails there in the interim? I think that's something that we need to hear from folks if they're interested in.
Just and a follow-up, the other thing I guess I learned was that for that decision to be reached, that decision has to be reached by both the county council and the Sound Transit Board. Is that right? They both have to agree on essentially what direction is going to go forward since they both own rights to the surface.
Right.
Okay. And so in that, you know, and Tom kind of followed up on this, you know, let's say that the city was interested and for, you know, somehow, you know, pursued maybe some rights joint with Sound Transit and King County for the segment within the city. I mean, that's not doing that. We might have some say over that, but those two boards would still have to approve anything. I mean, just owning some of that easements isn't gonna magically make it one decision at that point. Just on the city's behalf. Would just be like a third party, right? There's no way for the city to actually have the full, you know, kind of easement rights or whatever, is there?
Well, I hope I understand you correctly. What the only reason that there are six parties at the table right now is because there's six parties who are paying. And like I said, at the end of this regional process, there could be a truing up of property interest, meaning other easements could be, you know, sold, purchased, fee rights could be bought out. We're not closing the door to that. It's just that there isn't time in this next you know, 4 months to bring in another partner because we just don't have the time.
Before we go on, just could you characterize, I know from working on the 405 corridor project that, you know, there's varying amounts of right-of-way along the corridor. Could you maybe characterize sort of like the typical section and then sort of the minimum section and some of the options there?
Well, it's I've heard it said, I can't swear to this myself, but about 70% of the corridor is around 100 feet wide. Some of it a little wider, but around that. Mm-hmm. But about 30% of it is really constrained, very, very constrained, 30 feet or less. So we know that something that narrow is going to be a huge challenge to put a trail and anything else through it. The trail is very important, as I mentioned earlier, to retain rail banking, and it is in nobody's best interest, who's one of the partners, to have rail banking status challenged, because then we could lose our investment. So, the trail is a given. It doesn't.
What is rail banking? I've heard that used, but I mean, for a layperson like myself.
I'm not an expert at this, but rail banking is a federal construct that. It kind of goes like, we don't need this corridor now for freight because there's not enough customers, but we don't know if in the future we may need it again. So we'll rail bank it, but in order to keep it, rather than have it be sold off in pieces and it disappear forever. So in order to be rail banked, though, there has to be some specific use made of it, and that specific use is a trail.
I see. Okay.
You could do trail plus other things, like you can have a road and a trail, or a rail and a trail, or a park and a trail. or just a trail. Mm-hmm. But the trail is kind of a given.
Key.
Yeah. And it is so important that we retain that, because the law is not clear, I'm told, on whether a private party then could come back in later and say, well, you know, we have these customers in Bellevue, and, you know, Boeing is opening up something in Kirkland, and we need this rail corridor again to deliver freight. And at that point, they have a right to do that. And we don't, it's unclear whether we would get bought out or we would just be hung out. So rail banking is a big piece of this.
Okay.
So, Pam, just a quick follow-up. So that was, the reason I asked that is, and I'm glad you clarified that, for the most part, you know, we should assume that the entire length will be a trail in some form. The real question is, what else, if anything, would go with the trail in all or part of the corridor?
Yes,
is that true?
It is true, but what they consider a trail and what we consider a trail are very different. A trail can be a footpath. Hmm. You know, you could just, something small that is open to the public and people could walk on it. That would be enough. It doesn't have to be a regional trail for, like, commuter bikes or you know, something like the Burke-Gilman or the East Lake Sam or anything like that. So that's what I'm saying, is what we got in our $1.9 million easement is more the footpath kind of easement that can be moved by anybody at any time. What we really need to have is something, if we're going to have a regional trail that, you know, the most people understand here as one where you can commute bike on it if you want, you can, you know, do strollers and all of that, then we need more of an easement than we have now.
And does the 1.9 preserve the rail banking option already?
It does.
Okay.
Mike, did you have a question?
Yeah, just kind of a follow-up on the rail banking question. So under the rail banking, you have to have a trail. You can't have like a dedicated use for commuter rail or bus rapid transit or something that has to be a pedestrian type trail, or
just a trail.
So but I guess the question is the opposite of that, though. If the county or Sound Transit or somebody decided that the sole use of that corridor was going to be for some sort of rail or bus rapid transit, would that constitute rail banking?
No.
So it has to be a trail.
There has to be a trail sponsor.
Okay.
Now, Sound Transit could be a trail sponsor. Doesn't mean the county has to be.
Yeah, just as long as there's somebody that's sponsoring the trail.
In fact, Redmond, when they buy their section, they want to become the rail sponsor. The trail sponsor in their section.
You mentioned that Sound Transit has a huge say over what happens in the corridor. Does King County and Sound Transit both have equal rights in the corridor, or at least that segment from Renton to...
Well, it's one of those things where in an ordinary world, the property owner would have a lot more say and rights than an easement holder. But this is an extraordinary situation, and... when you think about it, if there's going to be rail use of that corridor, that's going to be the major dominant feature in the corridor. It doesn't mean there's not going to be a trail, but the trail is the easiest to, or I shouldn't say the easiest, because it's not easy to us. But when you compare it to what Sound Transit's construction needs would be, it's minor. You can move a trail around. So knowing that there's going to be a trail, we just don't know where and how big. And when, but we're a lot less limited than Sound Transit is in how they're going to position themselves on that corridor for light rail.
Well, you mentioned earlier that Sound Transit's interest right now, at least, is just a segment in Bellevue where light rail is going to, as you put it, land someplace in there.
Well, not exactly.
Okay.
They are buying that part in fee now, but they are also now buying a rail easement through the entire rest. So they've divided their interest into fee through Bellevue and easement over everything else, including in Redmond, all the way into Redmond.
So they are preserving options for some type of future transit use.
Yes.
In that corridor.
Although what they are, I don't know.
And they don't know.
And they don't know.
From our perspective, from Kirkland's perspective, you know, thank you for showing up. But it sounds like we should be talking to Sound Transit also, or maybe you and somebody from Sound Transit jointly to just kind of sort out what their interests are and what our input and who we should be making our input to and what type of options we may have.
Yes, because the transportation, other than bus rapid transit, all the other rail interests and opportunities will funnel through Sound Transit, because we are actually not authorized to do rail. So whether it's the private-public partnership idea through this $50 million in ST2, or their own use for light rail, that will all be decisions made by Sound Transit.
So, I guess to follow up my question, again, we would really need to have a representative from Sound Transit here to talk to also.
If you wanted to, you know, to focus on the rail pieces of it, yes. I really can't speak to that. In fact, I've probably stepped out of bounds already.
But I guess if Kirkland has an interest to push for some intermediate use, and you know, maybe Kirkland came up with some money and wanted to build their own trail or do something like the lady was saying about the interim use, we would still have to talk to both the county and Sound Transit to get both parties to buy into allowing Kirkland to do something like that.
Yes, within the next 2 years. After that 2 years, we'll know, or we should know, whether Sound Transit is going to sign an agreement for rail now or not, and instead use that money for HOV improvements on 405. Mm-hmm. If that decision is made to not go ahead with that, then you'd only have to work with King County, because right. Sound Transit has said they're not going to use their rights for another 30 to 40 years, except for that one purpose. And so then you could just work with us on trail stuff. So I think, you know, in this two-year period, while we're trying to figure out how to position the interest on the trail, you pretty much have to work with both.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Since there doesn't seem to be much money around, the only money I can see is $50 million from ST2. What are the options to get that money? What is that meant to be used for?
Well, it's meant to be used. It's money sort of, and again, I'm having to speak for Sound Transit here, so I feel pretty bad about that. But it's money that's sort of to be used for the east side. Well, did they have this? Oh, okay.
Did I ask
yes, it is.
Read?
No, it's in the council packet from the last meeting there. I'm just making it easier to refer to it.
Here it is, right here.
Yeah.
What it says here is that that it can be used. Let's see, operated. Any future passenger rail service along this corridor would be implemented and operated by other public and or private parties, particularly along the portion of the corridor located in Snohomish County outside the Sound Transit District. The ST2 plan does not include funds to operate, so it can't be used for operations. It's limited to maximum contribution of $50 million that can be used for engineering and design, and the purchase of capital equipment and real estate that can be sold or used on Sound Transit's existing transportation system. So that's what I was sort of referring to earlier. If they get through this process and decide they really want to do this public-private partnership for rail now, then they could use that $50 million to buy the property rights to do that, because mm-hmm. it's allowed.
Mm-hmm. With the three...
Yes, with the three, there's three conditions, which is they had to complete this feasibility study the PSRC did, which is done. That's the number one. And the second one is they have to determine that the ridership forecast, financing plan, capital, and operating estimates are reasonable. and that this would provide substantial benefit to the regional transportation system. And then the third is an execution of an agreement with public or private parties to implement it. So those are the three conditions by 2011, right? They have to make that decision by 2011, or the money goes to HOV improvements in the I-405 corridor.
You mentioned that King County does not have the ability to operate rail. Does Sound Transit have the ability to operate like a bus rapid transit along that corridor?
I don't know the answer to that question, but the way we have typically broken up the responsibilities is Metro Transit does buses and Sound Transit does rail.
Okay.
But whether they have the authority to do buses, I don't know. But I know we don't have the authority to do rail.
The rail, right.
Okay. Cam, you mentioned Snohomish County, and of course the corridor goes up to Snohomish.
Right.
And so what's the tie-in to Snohomish County and decision-making? Let's say there's an interest in having a rail connection from Snohomish to Bellevue. I mean, how does that interaction work? Do both county councils have to agree on that and Sound Transit?
Well, actually, that's pretty much Sound Transit because, you know, county council stops at the border, whereas Sound Transit goes north. And you probably know Aaron Reardon is the chair now of Sound Transit, and he's very interested in those kinds of opportunities. And right now, one piece I neglected to tell you, I'm sorry, I'll back up and explain this, is the Snohomish County portion did not go into rail bank status. And so when the port purchased it from Burlington Northern, someone had to continue to run freight up there. And the BNSF didn't want to do it under contract. The port didn't want to do it. So they contracted with GMP to do freight up there. And so they have a perpetual easement to run freight on the Snohomish County part of the rail. But they also, they convinced Burlington Northern that they couldn't make that pay, and that's probably reasonable since Burlington Northern couldn't make it pay, and that's why they wanted to get out of it. So they requested the ability to run an excursion train, a dinner train, from Snohomish, the city of Snohomish, down to the winery, which is a little tiny bit mm-hmm. into King County. And they have a license to do that, to operate that. But that's as far as it goes, and it doesn't provide the ability for them to run freight because, obviously, that would risk our rail bank status. So they can't do that. But they do want to, you know, they've expressed interest in building commuter rail down to Bellevue. And so Sound Transit Board, to answer your question, Sound Transit Board would be primarily the decision maker on that one.
Spirit of time, are there any other questions? I'll have one last one, but does anyone else have anything? Dave?
Purchase and sale agreement, is that going to, like, are the terms of that going to be a width of easement and a use of the easement and that kind of thing? Is that what's going to be in the purchase and sale agreement?
That's what we expect. We had our first three-hour meeting today with the parties to start to parse that out. But, yes, otherwise we don't know what we're buying.
Right. And so that's why this might be kind of iterative, because you all will come out with a purchase and sale agreement that has certain kind of expectations or terms. Then you'll go through a regional process, and that regional process will kind of be based on the terms that came out of the purchase and sale agreement. But then you might come out of the regional process and say, well, that's not exactly, we'd like to do X, but really it's not in the purchase and sale agreement, so we'll have to kind of maybe redo the purchase and sale agreement somehow, sort of?
Yes, that's what I was sort of mentioning, is truing up. We would true up the property rights at the end. So maybe Parks buys a bit more, a bit less, maybe right. Sand Transit buys more, a bit less, maybe other parties come in. That's
okay.
Exactly.
And if I could ask one more question, is the port is sort of out of it after the purchase and sale agreement,
yes.
Right?
Right.
Because then it'll be Sound Transit or the county or the city of Redmond, who's the owners.
Right.
Okay.
John.
And so finally, I guess I'd like to hear from you, like, what opportunities does the city have to get involved? Like, in your mind, like, in the county's mind, you know, other than just, you know, talking with county council members or kind of, you know, waving our hands saying we want this, we want that. I mean, where can we actually, you know, not just be a stakeholder, but
right.
be more than that?
No, that's what we're trying to design into the regional process, that there would actually be a special place for the cities through which this corridor goes. So, you know, Redmond is not an issue because they will have purchased theirs and they're sort of out of the deal. But Woodinville, that's why we wanted to have also the same place as those community meetings, which is not for the city people, but it's for the public.
Right.
But, you know, to have a seat for Woodinville and Kirkland and Bellevue and Renton, so that we can, you know, because we know we're going through people's cities, and we want to work with the cities as we do that. Certainly for the trail.
Right. So that kind of led into my kind of last question is, so on that timeline, when do you think sort of the earliest that you'd be wanting some input from people, and the people in the audience here have been generating a lot of interest in, you know, both the trail and the rail side. And so are we looking at the third quarter here or sometime early next year or what?
Well, we're actually thinking that third to fourth quarter this year. It sort of depends along on how long it takes us to negotiate these purchase and sale agreements. But because when you look at the end of the second quarter there, those little arrows, are, uh-huh. those are all lined up for a purpose. That's when we're going to take the entire package to the county council, because they're going to want to approve them as a package. So we're going to have to ask them to appropriate the money to buy it. And in order to do that, they're going to want to know what the purchase and sale agreement says. And they're going to want to know what the regional process is. And unless they've got all three of those things in front of them, I highly doubt that they would act. So I would say there's two places. I mean, right now, you could make your voices known individually as a city anyway to your county council members and as to what you would like the regional process to be. So where do you see Kirkland fitting into that regional process? So that could be done now. After we get that approved by the council, hopefully the end of the second quarter, then we want to turn around immediately and open up that process so that we can get the input before everybody goes into high design mode and technical studies that don't answer questions that people haven't asked. I mean, we want to know what people want us to study. And then we'll go into study mode and study whatever we need to study. And then continue to feed. It's going to be iterative. We'll just be feeding back information as we get it through this regional process. So even though we've only got community meetings scheduled maybe in the very beginning and the very end, I don't expect that to be the way it'll be with the cities through which the corridor goes. We'll be having probably regular involvement all the way through the entire part, you know. To make sure that when we get to the end, I mean, you know, speaking candidly, if we're going to build a trail, we have to get it permitted. And we need we need the cities to be able to permit that. So mm-hmm. we're not going to want to do something that the cities don't want.
Well, it seems like it's kind of two processes in a way. I mean, you've got the trail part, which gets into design and location and so forth. In some respects, that's maybe relatively straightforward. There's different ways to design it, but then if you overlay the rail issue and or bus rapid transit or other use there, then that's a whole another layer of decision making
right.
that goes on here. And do you see those? You show them going in parallel, but would they actually be, you know, handled at the same time at different public meetings, and or are you looking for input on that?
No, I don't think. I think that's been the problem all along. Is there's the rail people and there's the trail people, and we don't get them together. Eventually, we have to come together on that piece of geography. So I would imagine that it's going to be. We need to keep them together the entire way along, and that's the only way we're going to sort it out.
Are there any other questions? Well, I'm sure we'll probably talk to you again. We really appreciate you coming.
That's my job, so don't feel bad about it. I have all my contact information. So I'm happy to come out again if you need me to.
Great. Thanks very much.
Thank you.